is up, family, in the place to be, with your boy, Cliff B. That would be me, on the mic, 1, 2, 3. Here I am, can't you see, bussin' rhymes, don't mess with me. What's up, fellas? Now, what's up with y'all? What are y'all doing on this Sunday? It's Sunday evening for me. Man, what a busy weekend this was. Let me tell you. Golly, this man. First of all, let me say, I do, you know, off the bat, I apologize that I did not get a chance to record an After Church series episode last Sunday. Right? You're not tripping. Nope, I did not post one. And I thought about doing it Monday, and then time got away, then Tuesday, and then next thing you know, I'm like, man, hey, life happened. We're going to have to just get back to it this week. So instead of trying to, you know, go backwards and do that and try to, you know, stuff two in, I'm just going to go ahead with this one. Today's episode is sponsored by nobody else. I just felt like being silly. Man, let me tell you, I have something to share with y'all today. So, today at church, pastor preached from he preached about hope, right? Before I give you the text, let me just tell you about how the last couple of weeks have been for me. First of all, it's funny that I'm even about to say this, but I understand God's grace at a completely different level and in a completely different way than I did 2 weeks ago. Man, if you only, and you know, I'm not going to lie, I have a bad habit of telling the story while I'm still in the midst of the story. That's on me. And I hear folks saying, hey, you shouldn't do that. Right. You need to not share the story while you're still like, wait till the story is over. So then you can, you know, tell it accurately. But anyway, I got to tell you a little bit of it, because then you won't understand what is behind. I got to give you the context. Right. So check this out. I can say it this way. I'm going to say it this way, because, you know, my thing is being transparent and honest so that I can help you, right? And ain't no sense of me faking the funk and I'm trying to lead you. You know, I'm going one way and you going another way. You not following me, right? And I fear God, so I'm not going to be shady, right? So check this out. Real life situation. This has been, for me and my wife, I believe the most difficult year of our marriage, which is crazy because I thought last year was the worst, which is not good. That means it's getting progressively worse, huh? God do something. Well, he did. So, without getting into all the details and, you know, frustrations and whatnot, you know, and plus, you know, not your business, but, me and my wife was in a space, right? And we experienced one of the most obvious spiritual attacks that I know I've ever witnessed and been a part of in my entire life. Like, here's what I mean. Something happened in life. It was so obviously spiritual that, like, there's, you know, sometimes you wonder, man, I wonder if it was something behind that. No. This situation, there's no other explanation, because there's just no other explanation, right? But even in that, and so here's what I told my wife. I said, you know what? Satan showed his hand. And because he showed his hand, I really don't think he's going to be able to catch me with that one anymore, right? But the amazing thing about the whole situation that I found myself in was God's grace. Like, y'all don't, man, God's grace. I am overwhelmed and I am just amazed at how much God loves me, even when I fall beneath his will. How much God loves me, how much he cares for me, how much he extends grace to me, even when I fall beneath his will. And, you know, God's grace this week, it took me, literally, it took me from being hopeless to full of hope. And again, I can't give you all the details, right? Because it's my marriage, and I'm not the only. If it was just about me, I would tell everything. I don't, you know, but there's another person in the marriage, right? So I can't tell everything. But just trust me when I tell you, I was in a hopeless, what I believed to be a hopeless situation, and God turned it into a hopeful situation in a matter of about 6 days, and then on the seventh day he rested. I didn't realize that till just right now. But what Pastor preached today was about, he talked about hope. And he came from this text in Psalms 42, right? Psalms 42, you probably have heard it before. If you haven't heard it, you've probably heard like bits and pieces of it, right? Like, for example, it starts off, as a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Here's the thing. I was reading this today in church, and I was like, you know, we say this like it's a good thing. Like, we say this like, you know, Lord, the way the deer heart pants after the water, so does my soul pant after you. Here's a perspective, because what I started thinking when I heard it today, I don't know why it's the first time I thought of it this way, but why is a deer's heart panting? It's not because they're thirsty. It's because they've been running from the enemy. They've been running looking for safety, and now they're panting and they're dying of thirst. That's why they're panting, because they're thirsty. Right. And they're not just thirsty because, you know, just regular. No. Something is going on. Now I'm saying the deer's being chased. Yes, I'm adding context. That's not in scripture. OK, I'm not eisegeting. I'm not explaining the text. I'm trying to help you understand something. Right. So as a deer pants for flowing streams, so does my soul pant for God. Now, I'm not saying that our heart should not thirst for God in that way. But here's the thing. For the believer, if you are the believer, why are you still thirsty? Because Jesus said, I came to give you living water, and when you drink this water, you never thirst again. That's the salvation that God gives, right? And now, if I'm wrong, somebody, you know, email me and let me know. But if that's the water, the writer of this psalm, I believe it's saying, Lord, because if you read all of it, he's saying, Lord, I can't find you. Where are you? So this is a, you know, my soul pants for you. That means I'm in trouble and I can't find you. Like, I don't want that as my testimony. Can I give one witness? I mean, I know it's going to be a part of my testimony because I'm a human being on this planet serving an all powerful God that I don't understand because I'm a human, but I don't want it. Right, I'm not running up asking God, you know, Lord, give me some of that. Be distant, so I don't know where you send me through a storm, and then hide your hand so I can't see it. No, not me. Been there, done that. I don't want ever do that again, but I know I will, right? Because I'm still on the planet. But if I had a choice, y'all ain't hear what I'm saying. If I had a choice, I'm not choosing that, right? So anyway. That ain't even what I'm teaching about in this particular episode. So what I want to talk to you about, I just thought that was interesting, you know, my soul thirsts for God and how we see it as positive. Again, I'm not saying that we should not thirst for God in the sense that like he should be my thirst quencher. But don't be highlighting this, because if you highlight that, you should like, that's like verse 3 says, my tears have been my food day and night, while they say to me all the day long, where is your God? Right? That's like highlighting that as something to be proud of. I don't want to be proud of the fact that my tears has been my food, meaning I'm so depressed that I don't have an appetite, and all I do is cry day and night. I don't want that to be my reality. I know that it will be. It's the human experience. But I'm saying I'm not going to highlight that as something that so, you know, when I read it in the Bible, I'm like, oh yeah, I want that. No, I'm not doing that. Right? And so in this text, you know, obviously whoever the writer of this is depressed, right? And they're looking for God. Now, here's something else. Now, this part, don't take me literally, okay? Disclaimer, don't take me literally. Disclaimer, this is going to sound like eisegesis for real. It's just a thought. I'm not adding to the text. I'm not telling you what the text means. I'm just telling you, as I read it, this is how it jumped out at me today in church. And watch this. It makes sense this way. Let me show you what I mean. So, and I think you're going to get it too. Like, I really think you're going to get it. Verse 3, again, watch this. My tears. First, let's go. Let me see. Verse 2. Da, 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 da. Nope, it don't give no. So verse 2 doesn't give a clue to what I'm about to say about this verse 3. I was just checking. Anyway, here's verse 3. My tears have been my food day and night, right? Now, what has been my food? My tears. That's the only noun, pronoun. My tears. It's about my tears, right? I think I said that right. If I didn't, y'all forgive me. Y'all get what I'm saying. My tears have been my food day and night. Comma. While they. Here's my question. Who is they? Right? So that's the question. Put that question in your mind. Who is they? Now be thinking, who is they? I'm going to read it again. My tears have been my food day and night, while they say to me all day long, where is your God? Who is they? Doesn't it sound like they is the tears? My tears have been my food tonight, day and night. They say to me. So I read this early today. Now, I don't know if this means this. I haven't researched it, dived in, and what I'm just telling when I read it early today in church. My tears making fun of me. My tears are saying to me, bro, I thought you was a man. Why are we on your face? Bro, I thought you was a man. Why are you shaking in your boots? Bro, I thought you was a Christian. Where is your God now? Right? That's what he says. And I know there have been times in recent history in my life where I don't have a lot of folk, like, you know, outside of me. But if somebody could have poof piled into my life, say, hey, where's your God? You say you're a Christian. You're over here trying to lead these men, and you're over here trying to, you know, show godly character, and you're over here trying to, you know, help folk with their marriage, and you're trying to do all this stuff. But why is your life so upside down? If you got all the answers, why your life look ugly like it is? Like, where's your God? Right? And we can get really, really down and discouraged because there are times when we feel like we are alone. It feels like, and we know now in our conscious mind, we know this is not true, right? But it feels like God has left us alone. It feels like God says, you know what? You made the bed, you lie in it. It feels like God says, you should have trusted me and I forgave you the last time and now it's over, right? That's what it feels like. But now we know that's not true. But to say that how we feel don't matter would be foolish and naive, right? How we feel matters. Now, you shouldn't allow your feelings to run your life. Like, you can't allow your feelings to drive the car, as Pastor said today. They're going to be in the car with you, but you can't let them drive, right? But don't think that feelings don't matter. And see, when I feel like God is not there for me, like, how do you have hope when the God of the universe has closed his ears to you? Well, he hasn't. But sometimes it feels that way, right? And so when I was in this hopeless place, God on his own, in and of himself, decided to move on my behalf. How I know he decided? Because I ain't pray it. Now, maybe somebody else out there in the world prayed it. You know, my mom, dad, I didn't pray for what he, but he started moving in a way that he knew that I would need to culminate into this workshop on last Friday that I went to. And it changed my whole perspective on if whoever's going to start working with me from December on, from December 24 to on into 25, whatever, man, listen, y'all life going to be so changed. Why? Because of what God recently invested in me, right? And I'm not going to go into all that, but here's what the writer, I keep wanting to say what David said, but it don't say that David wrote this psalm, but it says this. So he's continuing to be, you know, talk about his situation. I mean, all I eat is my tears, right? I keep crying. They keep mocking me, talking about, you know, where's your God? And then it gets to verse 5, and we like verse 5, and verse 5 is really kind of what I want to help you with, right? Verse 5 says this: why are you downcast, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall praise him, for I shall again praise him, my salvation. Right? So here's what the writer is saying. He talks to himself. He talks to his soul. There's a part of him. So there's a part of him that is struggling with reality, of, hey, listen, I'm in this storm. God is nowhere to be found. My enemies are trying to eat up my flesh. They haven't stumbled and failed yet. And I don't see God nowhere with his foot out trying to trip nobody. What am I going to do? I am afraid. I can't stop crying. I don't want to eat nothing. I'm just going to fast and pray since I ain't eating. But I'm just crying and praying and crying and praying, and God ain't showed up yet. I'm thirsty in real life, and I'm thirsty for God. God, where are you? Right? Like, I'm thirsty. I'm in need. And it's like God is nowhere to be found. So that's one part. And then the other part says, why am I tripping? And the other part tells the self, the other part says, self, be encouraged. Hope in God. What is hope? Hope is the expectation of something good. Okay? That's the definition of hope. Hope is the expectation of something good. He says, hope in God. He's telling himself. Self, because one part of him is telling himself, we hurt, we in trouble. We don't know how we're going to get out of this because God ain't going to show up. But another part of self says, another part of himself says, hey, no, self, hope in God. Right? Why are you tripping? We're going to trust in God, right? We're going to praise him again because he is our salvation, meaning he is our deliverance. And so here's what I want to share with you. When it looks like life is topsy-turvy, when it looks like, when life is topsy-turvy, and when it looks like your prayer, when it feels like your prayers are bouncing off the ceiling, and it feels like he took his phone off the hook. Some of y'all are too young to know what that means. When it feels like he's blocked your number, you can't get no prayers through, right? Hope in God. Talk to yourself. I remember over in, I believe it's in Samuel, David and his mighty men were living in Ziklag, right? And you know, the town got ravished or whatever, and, you know, took all their women and possessions or whatever. And the men were very angry at David. Right. And they was mad. And the Bible's, this is where, you know, we get this famous quote, you know, folks say, and then David encouraged himself. Fellas, sometimes you have to encourage yourself. Your wife may not have, she may not have the insight to know you even need encouragement. Sometimes there is a part of you. See, let me tell you something. So all of us have all different parts. Like all of us got many parts of us. Like I got a part of me that loves music. And I got a part of me that don't want to hear love music at all. I only want to listen to rap. And I got another part of me that only wants to listen to country. I got a part in me that if you say the wrong thing to me, it can go left really quick. And I got another part of me that if you say the right thing, it'll calm me down no matter what. All these different parts, right? So now, you got to speak to the part. You got to allow one of your parts to speak to the self to say, hey, we're believers. I'm a man of God. My wife doesn't understand me the way I understand me. She may not have known that I need encouragement right here, but I'm going to have to encourage myself. Why? Because I'm the man, because I am the leader. I'm the head. And God is looking to me to lead this family. And I can't be laying on the side of the road while I'm waiting for my wife to come resuscitate me. Now, if she can, that's great. Hey, we're partners. But fellas, you need to learn how to encourage yourself. You need to learn how to pick yourself up and keep going, because sometimes she won't come with you because she won't understand. And here's something that I learned about God and how it can apply to you dealing with your wife and how you love her. The thing about God's love is this. God's love allows you to do whatever you want to do. God's not sitting around trying to force you to do anything. The way he loves you, see, love needs liberty to thrive. Well, with God's love, you have ultimate liberty, which means you choose how you love him. Now, he says, my love language is obedience. You get to choose how much of that you do. You got complete freedom, right? How many of you can love your wife that way? How many of you can love your wife that way to where your love is just free? Like, it's, look, no obligations on you to do anything for me. Whatever's in your heart, that's what I'll take. Y'all gonna be divorced by the end of the year. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Because number one, we're too immature to do that. And then number two, they're too immature to know how to love. Like they would just be selfish. They wouldn't do anything. But here's my point. My point is this. The way that God loves and the freedom that we have, like when you mess up, God don't withhold blessings from you. Or he doesn't withhold his love from you. Let me say that. I'm not going to say he don't withhold blessings, because, you know, God's not in the habit of blessing mess. Okay. Don't want to give you no bad theology. But like, when you sin, the wages of sin is death, right? Not only does God not kill you, but he don't even hold your breath a little longer. You know what? That was a big sin. I'm going to hold you for 5 seconds. That was scared of a Jesus out of you. You don't know why you can't breathe for 5 seconds. Just all of a sudden, yeah, you're going to be afraid. You go to the doctor randomly. I'd be walking down the street, and then I just can't breathe for like 5 to 8 seconds, and then it just comes back. Doctor said, well, there's nothing wrong with you. Yeah, God don't do that. So what I'm telling you is, be a little bit more graceful and patient with your wife, right? When your wife mess up, man, stop making her pay for everything, right? Extend some grace. And sometimes I saw somebody online say that women don't apologize. I would concur. But sometimes, fellas, listen, it is what it is. You might have to go without an apology, right? I mean, maybe that apology will come later. Here's what you do. Pray for her. Pray that God will give, pray that God will get hold of her heart, arrest her heart, and help her get saved. And then she'll tell you, babe, you know, I'm sorry for this thing. And you know, but, I don't know if that's going to happen though, right? But listen, let me tell you what Lamentations said about God and his love, because the whole point of me telling you this, and I know this is kind of all over the place, I apologize about that, but I'm trying to instill hope in you, and I'm telling you to encourage yourself. I'm telling you to talk to yourself. I'm telling you to have hope. But listen to what Lamentations 3:22 says, right? It says this, the faithful love of the Lord never ends. How long is never? Forever. The faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. So what I'm telling you with that is, when your wife isn't there to encourage you and you need encouragement, you may need to lean on the Lord, because his love is everlasting. His mercy is everlasting, right? So what you think you need from your wife to be re-energized, to be, you know, go out there to conquer the world. No, no, no. God has put the Holy Spirit inside of you and given you enough for you to encourage yourself and for you to lean on his faithful, everlasting love and his mercies. So here's what I mean when I say that. Go do what you what God has called you to do. He has your back. Right? Your wife may not have your back today because she don't understand. But you still lead with godly character and integrity, she'll catch up. Right? You don't follow God all the way every time he says something because you don't understand. And he's perfect. And you still don't move. Why? Because you don't understand. Give your wife some grace. But beyond that, fellas, don't be discouraged, right? Don't let this life beat you down. And I'm telling you from experience, the thing that I know for sure, the gap between you being stuck and you being unstuck is the exact gap between what you know and what you don't know. It's literally just an information gap. From Thursday to Friday of last week, my marriage did a 180. All because I got some new knowledge. That is the only thing that changed. And if you guys been listening to me for a while, how many times have I said something like that has happened? Right? One piece of knowledge comes in and the whole thing shifts. That is because the block is only in your mind. All right. I hope this was helpful, you guys. I will holler at y'all next time.